my love about Jesus. His presence is here. You gotta praise him. You gotta think about the things that God wants, that you want from God. You gotta hold it in your heart.
Yes, right.
The presence of the Lord is here. This message was more difficult than others for me, and it's put together a little bit different because it came from pain. It came from pain. Let me tell you the kind of pain it came from. So, a friend of mine a couple weeks ago, he called me and asked me to pray for his 16-year-old cousin. His cousin, 16, diagnosed with cancer out of nowhere. Right? Just out of nowhere, 16 years old, had leukemia. And he said, pray for him. So I prayed for him. But I remember the prayer that I prayed. And it was so weak in a sense of where we've gotten to the point where, you know, my prayer was somewhere along the lines of, hey, God, you know the situation. If it's your will, you know, go ahead and save them. You know, one of them prayers. But it set me on a journey because I'm thinking, like, he's coming to me because he says, this is a man of faith. And my faith was, hey, well, God, if you want to do it, go ahead and do it. You know, well, it is what it is. But as a body of believers, we have to be different than that.
That's right.
So this message set me on a path of what is God's will. So turn to me with Matthew 6 and 10, please. What is God's will? Matthew 6, verse 10 says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So I said, okay, we're getting somewhere. So I said, thy kingdom come. See, this isn't a gradual process of God's kingdom. It's a sudden establishment. This is Jesus praying out, and he's saying, like, you know, before this in Matthew chapter 6, he was talking about, you don't need to do all this crazy stuff to pray, and you can, and here's how you do it. And if you haven't even stepped foot in a church, most people can say, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You can start down this path. But do you know what you're praying when you pray it? Because in Matthew 6 and 10, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. So God's desire is to be done. Right? God's desire. Well, here's the best part to me. In earth. So upon earth, just like in heaven, His desire is to be done. So I want you to think about that. That's not transformational for you. I want you to think about it like this. God's will is for us to experience what operates in heaven in the earth. I wish somebody would know what I'm talking about this morning. See, if God's will is for us to be able to operate what's in heaven, operate here on earth, then my prayer should have been different about that young man.
Yes.
It should have been different because in heaven, cancer can't operate. See, what's free to operate in heaven? It's not cancer. It's peace and joy and freedom and health and wholeness and forgiveness and overflow. That's free to operate in heaven. And if God's will, his desire, is for things on earth and heaven to be in lockstep, no matter what's going on in your life, you have to see through it and understand that that's not God's will. God's will is for peace. See, you might not have peace in your household right now, but you got to bind that because it's wrong and operate in what God's will is. See, now I can look at God and say, God, this ain't my will I'm talking about. You want things to operate freely, so I need peace, Jesus. I gotta have it because it's your will. It ain't mine. I'm walking in what you want. I'm walking in God's desire, not my own. So whatever turmoil is going on in your life, if it's not heavenly, it's not free to operate. See, when you've been beaten down and downtrodden so long, then my words start to feel like just words. They start to say, man, that's cool and all, but I'm behind on my car payment. God's will is for us to operate heaven. And there's going to be some conflict sometimes, and conflict is okay. What's not free to operate in heaven? Sickness ain't free to operate in heaven. Pain is not free to operate in heaven. Spiritual bondage, shame, guilt, those are not free to operate in heaven. So if God's will, we got to line up with it. But too many times in church, we want people to come over and we talk about how awesome God is and how miracles he do and all this kind of stuff and don't show nothing. Don't show nothing. You know, down this journey, I started reading a book, right? And it was called The Supernatural Power of a Transformed Mind. And this book helped me with this journey that I was on because I was trying to figure out what God's will was. And as it was put, it's so true. In church, we're like vacuum cleaner salesmen that show up to your door. We talk about how awesome the vacuum is, and it cleans up everything, and it'll do all that you can imagine. And we'll sprinkle some dirt down and say, just trust me, I'm not going to show you the vacuum, but it works. Because we're not putting the power of God on display. We're just talking about it. But if God's will is for things that operate on this earth to operate like heaven, why are we afraid to step out on his established word? How many times you have been to church and said, God can do anything. God is awesome. God is amazing. But then they send up a prayer like I did. Well, God, if it's your will, man. If not, he did. That's horrible. And I was so hurt that I thought like that afterwards. I'm like, man, God, there's got to be more to your will than what I am believing. It's time for us as a corporate body of believers to be able to walk in God's will.
That's right.
Right? Amen? We have to walk it. We can't no longer talk it. We have to walk what God wants us to do. Amen. It's not enough just to talk about it anymore.
That's right.
You might say, well, how do we do it? Right? We have to understand, and it's okay, there's earthly conflict, you know, earthly and heavenly. There's going to be a conflict sometimes.
Yeah.
But you have to choose heavenly over earthly. See, earthly might say, you know what? My body's in pain. But heavenly says you are healed and it cannot exist in your body. See, sometimes you have that conflict that comes on. You feel down and you feel bad. That's earthly. But heavenly says there is joy in your heart. You got to decide which one you're going to believe. We have to believe that God's will is what. This applies to our lives, our businesses, family, school, whatever. We have to figure out if we're going to believe earthly or if we're going to believe heavenly.
Yeah. Yeah.
It doesn't seem like a much of a decision on the surface, but sometimes when your body's in pain, it's easy to forget that he's a healer.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get used to things so long, you're like, well, my walk ain't what it used to be, but at least I'm walking. I'm used to walking with this limp now, and it's okay. Heavenly says it's not free to operate.
Yep.
It's tough sometimes, but we have to choose God. Amen?
Amen.
So you might say, how do we go down this path? The first step is transformation. Now see, after I had started preparing this message, Romans 12:2 meant something different to me after I read it. It meant something different to me. So you can turn to your Bibles if you want, or it'll be here for you, Romans 12:2. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Be not conformed to this age, right? I love this renew. Renew is moving towards another object with the purpose of touching it. I wish somebody heard me this morning. I say, when you renew, this renewing of the mind, we got to go in motion towards another object. So we got to be moving towards Jesus with the purpose of touching it. And here's this will part coming up again. This will, the will of God. It says that ye may prove. See, we got to prove something. See, we haven't been proving anything. We've been talking about it. But we have to prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. We can't just talk about the perfect will of God. We have to prove it. I love that part of it because it's important that we understand that it's going to require something of us. You know, it's easy to be like, oh, God, you're so awesome and you're this and you're that without putting it to the test. But see, we have to start to align our actions with what God's will is. See, as a body of believer, there are things in your life that do not look heavenly today, but you have to call those things that are not as though they were. And we have to move and renew our mindsets. God is looking for a transformed people this morning. Amen. God is looking for a people that will prove that his will is good, acceptable, and perfect. How do you do that? By stepping out on faith and doing what God's talking to you to say. We say, how do I do that? That's step two. We have to be in tune into the things of God. It's my aunt, who I talked about with my singing today, God used her to do something that I never thought was possible. She went to a church and she was, you know, establishing her church. And she got members of my family I never thought would go to church. When I talk about this will of God, she got members of my family to go to church that I never thought would go to church. Like, you know, and I grew up in this church. I done seen, you know, people come in with canes and crutches and leave with nothing. Many of you grew up in this church, you've seen the same thing. So I've seen all those miracles and thought, man, God, I don't know about it. Now this one might be a little bit beyond your scope. But because she did what God told her to do, and she was in tune with the things of God, God started to move. Now in my family, I'm almost surprised if you don't go to church. See, that's a miracle. But we treat regular things, like we treat miracles like regular things sometimes. It's a miracle that you are here this morning, some of you. But we start to remember, you know, Pastor Arnie's got into a car accident. Her car spinning around on a highway. It's a miracle that she's here today.
Amen.
But guess what? It's easy for that to feel regular. Uh-huh. If you allow that to feel regular, it will feel regular.
That's right.
It's a miracle that, again, Pastor Arnice was given 6 months to live, and 20-some-odd years, 30 years later, Aubrey, she is here today. Yeah. You can allow that to be regular if you want. We got to tune into the things of God. This group of scripture was from last week, actually. Looks very familiar to you. 1 Corinthians 2 and 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's verse 12. Verse 14, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, Can we know them? Because they are spiritually discerned. See, God has done some things in your life that you've looked through your natural lens, and you have not understood the things of God were at play. And you, like me, have had a chance to walk out and step and prove God's word, and because you were thinking natural, you weren't able to do it. God is looking for a bold body of believers, not vacuum cleaner salesmen who won't even prove that the vacuum works. A lot of our vacuum cleaners are missing a power cord because we're operating in the natural. So we can't prove it works because our flesh is all over everything. But as a corporate body of believers, we're going to be different. It's time for us to move differently. I don't know what situation your family has, but if God can do it for my family, I know he can do it for yours. I don't know what situations your finances are, but if God can do it for my finances, he can do it for yours. I don't know what situation you have and who you lost and who you haven't. But if God does it for somebody else and his will is for things to operate on earth like it is in heaven, then he can do it for you. But see, we need to be a body of believers who's going to come together and demand and stand on God's promise. Third thing we have to do is we have to start removing these earthly limitations. See, heavenly and earthly, they come in conflict all of the time. So we have to remove. See, here's the problem. I know healing is God's will, but I have to believe God wants to heal everybody. Because if I believe God only wants to heal some people, then my faith is limited from the start. If I say, God, you are a healer, but you only heal some of the people some of the time, then I'm not qualified to pray for you. Because you want somebody who's going to stand on God's word and believe and not doubt and have faith in that prayer that they have. Amen?
Amen.
But see, a lot of times we make God's will into a joke. We're like, look, hey, and I know I don't use God's will as a joke. I don't even know if I should say it, but I say it anyway. You know, I had a girlfriend, and she would ask me, like, oh, you love me? I'm like, yeah, I love you. And she'd be like, look, so nobody else for you? I'm like, no, nobody else for me. And she's like, what about Beyonce? I'm like, well, that's God's will. That's a little different. That's a little different. See, I've used that as a joke. But God's will is nothing to joke about. God's will is in earth as it is in heaven. And we got to remove these earthly limitations. See, we will not release faith in the area that we need without the belief that God is a healer for all. Same thing for deliverer. It's easy to feel like, man, if God is your will, you got the power, you got whatever. But God is looking for a body of believers who step up and stand on his word and do what he has to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I was preparing for this message. And I did a little YouTubing. And I was looking for some things for Pastor Hart. I was looking for some things, and I came across a story. Video doesn't play too well here, so I hate that I can't play the video, but I'll tell you about it. It was Pastor Keith Barr talking about Pastor Hart. And so he was talking about Pastor Hart, and he was saying, Pastor Hart, sometimes, he said, how do you just pray for people like you do and have so much faith? Because I don't want it to feel like it's me, like I don't know that it's God, and I'll look like an idiot if it's wrong. Like, you say, God says this person's going to be healed, and Pastor Barr was saying he was scared to pray for somebody, because he's like, how do I know that it's not my flesh and that is theirs, right? It's just not my flesh. I'm going to look like an idiot if it don't work. His word's not mine. And he said, hey, talk to Pastor Hart. He says, brother, that's God talking to you. You know how Pastor Hart talks, right? That's probably a bad thing, but you know, you get the point. And so and Pastor Hart began to tell him a story. He says, brother, I was preaching in Missouri. And I was up there, and I'm preaching, and God told me to spit in this man's face. Pastor Hart said, this is Brother Gino told him a story. He said, Pastor Hart's telling him to, you know what I mean, that Pastor Hart, God told Pastor Hart to spit in a man's face. And Pastor Hart's like, oh, I can't do that. And he up there preaching, and he's preaching, and it just kept getting stronger and stronger. And he was like, God, I can't, Pastor Hart's like, Brother Gino, I can't go spit in nobody's face. Like, that's ultimate disrespect. I can't do that. And so there was a blind man there. And Pastor Hart said, the urge was so strong that he finally went up to the blind man. He said, can I spit in your face? And he said, the blind man looked at him and said, why would you want to do that? And Pastor Hart says, because God is going to heal your blindness. And the blind man said, well, spit all over me. And God healed that blind man. Now, can you imagine what it takes, what kind of faith it takes in God to be able to listen to him? Like, what? And so this is Pastor Barr telling the story of that. And a lot of times we have these limitations of how God should do things,
yes,
and how we think it should be done. It's like, God, if I can spit on a man, he can be open. I can say it from here. I can touch his forehead.
Yeah.
But God needs a body of believers who's going to walk and operate in faith.
Yeah.
It don't take no faith to pray from home to the hospital room, boomerang, and say, God, I know you can do it. Now, I'm not saying we should do that, but what I'm saying is, you're talking, spitting in somebody's face is putting your faith to the ultimate test.
Right.
Listen, I was listening to this story. I'm like, God, woo-hoo. Listen, don't test your boy like that, because listen, it's gonna take you coming down to me floating over there. But God has given us a promise to be able to do this and more.
Amen.
I'm going to give you Old Testament and New Testament, and then we're almost out of here. So Jeremiah 33:3, look at this. It says, call unto me, I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That ain't my word, that's the word of God. But see, we have to be a body of believers who will embody this. And so you might throw that out and you say, man, that's the Old Testament. Get on out of here, sure. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 3 is a good read. We're going to go to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. It says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. How many know you got power? You got the healing power of Jesus in you. See, I don't care what you came here seeking. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. I feel it in the atmosphere. The power of the Lord is here. The power of the Lord is here. Healing from the Lord is here. Healing from the Lord is here. to give Jesus some praise this morning. Because his power is still with you. Somebody give Jesus some praise this morning. Because his power is here this morning. But as a body of believers, this is what corporate anointing is all about. We all need it right now. Steady our minds on Jesus. Steady our minds on the things of God. Steady our minds on what's heavenly. Let's think about joy right now. I don't care if you feel like you have joy or not. The presence of the Lord is here. Hallelujah. The presence of the Lord is here. The presence of the Lord is here. I feel him in the atmosphere.
For truly my kingdom is here. I have established my church. In my church is many dwelling places, and I have filled them all with power. Now I filled them with my spirit. And I have seated you in the same place that I have seen. I am seated by my Father, and those that are in me are seated in my throne today in heavenly places. There are many things that seek to distract you. But a transformed mind, a mind that is shaped formed by my word, is able to look past the situations and the circumstances that so easily beset you. And able to create an atmosphere in your mind and in your heart that you might see me through all situations and circumstances. Yeah. That nothing would deter you, but that you would look around the circumstances and see me. Look under the circumstances and see me. Look through the circumstances and see me. For I am a mighty God. Did I not walk this earth? Did I not go through what you go through now? I'm a mighty God. And I'm able to lead you because I am both man and God. And I understand all things. Look unto me through the word. Look unto me in your faith. Look unto me in your prayers. Look unto me in your praise. And I am there to lead you. I am there to guide you. I am there to strengthen you, saith the Lord.
Somebody give Jesus some praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We got to look past our circumstances this morning. We got to look past our circumstances this morning and give those things over to God. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give Jesus a hand clap of praise this morning. Hallelujah. It's time for us to transition on in the service. Time for us to transition in the service.
Yes.